Welcome to Paddles Up Sunday, everyone.
Hello.
John and Amy here. So we were having some amazing discussion and just thoughts lately about what it means to live in a world that's underneath the cloak of enslavement. And that may not seem amazing, and it's not. But what does it look like in contrast to where we as divine spiritual beings are actually located? You know, we are in this earth suit, but we are bigger than the earth suit. And we know that if you're spiritual at all listening to this, and you know this as a Christ consciousness person, a Christ follower, you understand this to a degree,
right? However, divinity,
we get caught in these lower planes a lot,
thinking,
swimming around in, paddling, and feeling like we're drowning in this thing called survival mode because we don't know how to transcend it. And so when you look at the broader perspective, though, like we were just sharing and listening to somebody talk about this, and we've been pondering this over the years, is this idea that we can actually transcend everything that's earth plane related, meaning that, you know, think about the hierarchy structure of things. It's in every genre, it's in every industry, it's in every field, including the church and religion. And if you look at it, there's a hierarchical structure. And in reality, the way this is made up in the spirit is there is no such thing as hierarchy. Not even the Godhead considers themselves higher than one another.
Right. They model you don't see it. They model it by loving one another, preferring one another.
Exactly. And so when you look at this in relation, is if we're going to look to God as the example, to Christ as the example, then we can't avoid seeing, we cannot see, in other words, this idea of them preferring one another and nobody placing themselves higher than one another. Now, you could argue and say, well, God was first, or Holy Spirit was first, and then Jesus came later and all that. But there's too much evidence and too many scriptures that talk about before the foundation of the world.
Right. And it's more like an honoring of each other's giftings or positions or abilities, you know, but still yet not one over the other, you know.
No.
It's togetherness.
It's in its oneness. And remember what Jesus actually said. He said that they may be, talking about humanity, They may be one as we are one. That means if you're one, you're not higher or lower. You're one with, you're joined to in the dance. And so when you look at this earth and everything that we're under, the structures that we're under, man's control and the hierarchy and the pyramid schemes and all of that, then it's no wonder we hit a ceiling. And we hit a ceiling, though, in intellect. We hit a ceiling in belief. We hit a ceiling in what we've been conditioned by. But in reality, there is no ceiling in the spirit. It's wide open. It's limitless. But because of our belief structures and our conditioning, then we're underneath this place called enslavement. So what do we do about it? You know, What do we do about it?
Right.
Well, there is something we can do about it.
Right. And it's what is something that man cannot control? And that's your thoughts. We all choose, you know, the old saying, you can't choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you experience it. And it's just, it's the truth. Our vibration, our energy, everything that we do experience and view things as is according to the thoughts we give it, the meaning we attach to it. And so I think, you know, we're just seeing all the time, and, you know, for years it builds and builds, right? And I'm sure the same with you guys, though. It's just the power of the mind, the creative center that God has given us, and we create what we experience. Yes, there's a set path of intention from God for your destiny, but how we choose to experience it, it comes down to us. So we can live this life experiencing the victim mode of enslavement and picking up off of what everybody else is feeling, you know, oh, the government, oh, my job, oh, this, oh, that, my I had a rough upbringing and all this, and play the victim card. And we all have the same 24 hours, right? So, or we can choose to come into agreement and alignment with what God says, who we really are. It's like scrolling back, viewing back into the bigger picture of your divinity and saying, wait a minute, I'm an eternal being here having an earthly experience. You know, yes, my parents brought me here into the earth, but I'm on my own journey and I get to choose how I experience this thing. Am I going to choose to be under the weather, you know, in this slave gray clouded mentality? Or am I going to choose to ascend and really take in what Christ has done for us and begin to partner with that divinity of waking up?
Yeah. And then, so for those of you thinking, okay, practicality, you know, what does this look like? What does this look like on my job that I can't stand? Or what does this look like in this family dynamic that is so challenging, or this relationship that is going sideways? And so look at it like this. Those of you, let's start with the workplace. We've been pondering this a lot over the years and we've had to do this, but it's like we've hit a ceiling as well. Like, okay, if the whole earth is under this curse, because it really is. The 9-to-5, one person said the 9-to-5 job is really enslavement because you don't have the time that you really want to do what you really want. You know, and if we get really honest about this, this is the issue. We get really honest about, okay, I recognize that. All right, fine. But the thing that we can't do that doesn't work, and believe me, we've been there, done that. I've been there, done that so many times. It's ridiculous. Is we get frustrated or upset or angry, and then we do knee-jerk reactions, or we're like, okay, I just can't stand this anymore, so I'm gonna go find something that's freer,
right?
Or I can't stand this anymore, I'm just feeling so dominated and controlled, I just quit.
I'm gonna go buy something in the moment because I need a fix to cope with the pain I'm in.
Addictions.
And then you dig yourself in the hole further, you know, like debt.
Do we see lines of cars at Starbucks every Monday morning or any morning given during the given week? Why? Get real about it. Well, I like my latte. It's cold out. No, you might enjoy it according to what the addiction is dictating because you're trying to get out of a situation to feel good. And so
to feel okay to make it through the day.
Yeah. And so what does this look like really at a workplace? Okay. Let's break it down a little bit. It's built upon a pyramid. Okay. You have a hierarchy structure where you have a boss. Say you work at Starbucks. Okay. So Starbucks is a corporation. And it's led by one man's vision, and then he sets up this pyramid underneath. Then you come down to the local store level. Missed a whole lot of steps, but that's okay. Let's get to it. You come down to the local store level. Then you have your boss, you have your manager there, and then you probably have an assistant manager, and then you have leads, and you have a supervisor, and then you have all of these dynamics with a ladder. And then you're just the person there as the barista, and you do a lot of cleanup, you do a lot of coffee making and drink making. So you're in this matrix and you're sitting there going, I want to live my dream.
Right.
And you're going, how in the world is this going to happen, God? I feel so trapped because I have 3 kids, I have 3 jobs.
I don't have energy to create.
I don't have energy to create. How do I do this? Well, there is a way spiritually, and that's called raising our energy or our vibration level. And we do this by shifting our focus, like Amy said earlier, shifting our focus just 1 degree can start shifting the frequency and the energy at the workplace to the point where your boss comes to you and says, hey, you're done. Or your boss comes to you and says, hey, I've got a promotion. Depending on where the callings are calling you to.
And the vibrational
match. And the vibrational match. So if your vibrational match is like going, okay, I'm just going to have a positive attitude no matter what. And I'm going to sink down into heart currency, heart flow, and let the heart magnetism shift this barista station.
Yep.
And then you're going in with a different mindset. And then little by little, things begin to permeate the coffee grounds, begin to permeate the cash register.
Where customers start speaking well of you because tasting the fruit on your life.
Exactly. And then a customer could walk in. This could happen in a myriad of ways. Customer walk in and says, you know what? I just love the care you put into making that drink. Hey, do you want to come work for me? Or it could say, hey, I want to fuel your dreams. What is your dream? It could happen. It happens all the time.
And say you wanted to do music and they're producers of a music company. And it's something you couldn't have predicted or made happen. But because your vibration is unobstructed now they can start coming in. And you've let go of trying to make it happen in your own strength and becoming embittered at the position you're in. Believe us, we've been there, done that. We know it doesn't work. So we're always learning this ourselves too, you guys. And it's challenged because the ego is always stuck in, it's never enough. How am I ever going to figure it out? Where's the how, right? And you know, with God, he's never going to give, it's not about the why and the how. It's letting go of the obstructions of these low planes of our thought life to where we can ascend and let go and rise up to where we can see what he's trying to, you know, bring into us and be open. Because why would this music producer be attracted to you if you're bitter, having a bad attitude, not really giving good service because you don't want to be there? Why would he be attracted and want you to come work for them? You know what I mean?
Where's the vibrational match?
So if you can choose to be who you are in the place that you're in right now, it's like kind of like Joseph being promoted in a way. He had to have a mind shift from feeling ripped off, right? And to, okay, I'm going to use my gifts right here in this prison and just serve out who I am regardless of where I am. And boom, promotion, one day changes an appointed time.
Yeah, and it wasn't on the Joseph story. So remember the story. It's like, we've said this before, but 2 years later. So he tries to get himself out through his own egoic mindset. Yeah. And his own...
Even using his prophetic gift for the other guys.
His own earthly low frequency levels in the
innocent.
Ego. I'm innocent. Can you tell...
I don't deserve to
the
be
the king.
Here.
Tell him I didn't do this. I please. And so you can tell anybody would do this, right? That's living in survival mode. Even though he had a massive call, he's sitting there going, I have to figure this out. I have to get out. I didn't do this.
I'm in the wrong place.
I'm in the wrong job. I can't stand Starbucks and all these people. It doesn't pay enough. I got to feed my kids, you know. And so then what happens? A period of time of 2 years or so goes by because the ego is being chipped away at so that
Which
he throws his hands in the air to drop into heart-centeredness.
Yeah,
it keeps adding more time.
The
time
more
is up to
and
us.
Scream. You think about it, like when somebody's wanting to be rescued out of the water and they're kicking and screaming and the search and rescue people will not come out there until they stop thrashing around because they know it's going to take them down. So the less you can thrash around, the sooner it'll happen, right?
That's so true. And there is no timetable. We got to remember, guys, we are spirit beings and time is an illusion. Linear time is an illusion. There is no such thing in the spirit. And so when you think about it, things can collapse in a quantum way when we make a small shift. And you're thinking, no. This is where the ego lies to us and says, if I just make a small, I got to do something big. I don't know how many times visionaries say this. I've said this a lot in the past, is like, I got to do some big radical thing.
Yeah. Is it the ego or the spirit saying
exactly,
that, right?
Because you're in pain. You want out, right? But that's the ego. The ego's in pain. Your spirit isn't. So when we make these little adjustments, say it's a relationship issue, and your relationship is like, man, I have to get, this is toxic. I need to get out of this relationship. It's not serving me well. In fact, I've had to sacrifice and give up my life for this abuse. Well, first of all, if you're being physically traumatized or mentally traumatized, then maybe a big move is in order.
There's
right?
your sign,
get away
right?
from it. Go stay with somebody if you can. Go sleep on a couch for a while. I know that's humbling, But if that's what you need to do to get away from it, then do it. We're not talking about staying in abuse. And even if you're being verbally or mentally abused on the job, there's right. laws that cover that, you guys. Or HR is there for a reason. Reach out to HR. You know, but what we're talking about here is the typical situation where somebody's not happy in a relationship and you're like, I'm going to change them. You know, I'm going to fix them. That's what my spiritual fortitude is about. That's why I know so much scripture. That's why I pray so much, is because I'm going to change them. I'm even going to shift their mindset energetically. And you're like, whoa, who's speaking there? Is that ego? Or is that a letting go and dropping into heart-centeredness? Because I guarantee you, when we drop in and we let go and we surrender and we live in the currency of heart, that we live in the current flow, then there is no fixing anyone.
That's right. Because they'll either flow closer to you or away from you if they're not meant to be in your life. And it's same with a job. This is why if we can really keep doing the inner work with God of surrender and trusting the journey, trusting the process, He will then be free to move things towards you or out away from you that have been hindering you. But if we keep taking the reins and doing this stuff in our own strength, then you know, God's got all the patience in the world, right? And He knows we're gonna learn either way through the contrast of that. So, you know, it's like, do you want the tree of life or you want the tree of your own knowledge through contrast? You know, I want the higher path. I don't like pain. I don't like to learn through pain, but nonetheless, you'll get there. It's just what path you want to choose, right?
Yeah, and this is where love surpasses knowledge. Is the think about this energetically now and spiritually. When we gain knowledge on something, many of you have tried, and we've done this as well in the past, where we try to gain knowledge on a subject, and that's good to a degree, right? You want to learn about how things work. That's fine, but where we transcend trying to figure it out through knowledge is through love's currency, and that absolutely requires dropping down 18 inches into heart currency by surrender.
Right.
And so say for example, you're absolutely stuck in that job or that relationship and you feel like you're stuck, which is an illusion, but your ego makes it seem like it. And the reality is you may feel that very intensely, and there is a little bit of truth to it, because we're human. But say you're in it. The number one thing that we can do is throw our hands in the air like we just don't care and say, I surrender. I don't know how to do this. And that's one of the best things we can say to God, is I don't know how. Because right. when we say I don't know, it means I don't have the knowledge. I need the love to transcend.
I need your insight.
The figuring it out. And so this is when love says, okay, thank you for allowing me to take over. Now you're dropping more down. You're about halfway down. You're about 8 inches down. And now the more you allow, the more we allow each and every moment, right. then we drop further in. Yeah. And when we're immersed, when we're submerged into heart-centered ways, this is when the magic starts happening. Forgive me for saying that word if it offends you. This is when supernatural things happen, okay? Just we get offended by so many things.
This is when the joy anyway, bliss happens.
This is when the amazing things happen. Okay, does that help? So anyway, when we come into this area, this is when supernatural ability begins to move in the currency of who right. we are, and then here we go, little by little things, big things start popping, synchronicities mm-hmm. start showing up, and then you're like,
insights,
man. Yeah. I thought I was going to be stuck at Starbucks. I thought I was going to be stuck in this relationship for another year. Yeah. See, and our ego tells us, I got myself into this mess.
I'm going to get myself
out. So it's going to take X amount of time to get myself out of this mess. But this is where mercy shows up. This is where grace shows up, when we surrender.
Yeah.
And collapses time.
That's right. And, you know, how do we surrender, right? How do we do this thing? And, you know, we've heard it said, if you're focusing on the problem, the solution can't come in, because your attention is so much in the activation of the problem, it just keeps activating it more and more and more and more, and you keep banging your head against the wall, right? Or digging yourself deeper. And so you have to let up on that in order for the resistance to lift off that pedal, and the solution can then come in. So how do we do that? Well, you got to change the direction of the energy. So, and the momentum of it. So, you know, either going out for a walk, if you've got too much energy, then you need to go walk it off, right? Get out into nature, shift it. And if you're so exhausted, then the best thing is go take a nap so that you can start hearing clearly. Your body, your ego can rest, die down a bit, so that your spirit's ears can actually start perking up and listening and receiving the insights. So, you know, it's like if you keep walking through the same door that says problem on it, that's all you're going to get in that room. That's why you got to kind of backpedal out, get outside of that house, and just go walk on a path with the Lord, or go lay down in nature kind of thing. So get out into the open of it, and it'll really help.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm getting, while she's talking about that, I'm getting this picture about how we, I'm getting this picture of a person in a kayak. And, you know, when you're in a kayak and you have that dual paddle situation going on with paddles on both ends, and you're stroking your way upstream, you can get somewhere, okay? But it's through a lot of sweat, toil, and hard work. And by the way, evil, word evil is translated as annoyances, hardships, and sweat.
Yeah.
You know?
Labor. So laborious.
We can laboriously paddle our way up that stream, and we can get somewhere. But the problem is that we're focused on the stroke, we're focused on the strength instead of seeing
our understanding,
the beauty of the scenery that's all around us. You can't focus on that. You're focused on the survival mentality of getting up that stream.
What happens
when you pull the paddle up and you put the paddles up, you put them up, you just lay it down across the plastic kayak, the current that's natural. Now we're talking spiritual language here now. In the natural, you see it one way, right? But spiritually speaking, the current begins to turn that kayak in the direction that it was automatically designed to go in, redirects, and here's where we get scared. Most people turn around and they say, wait a minute, this is scary because I see a rock wall coming. I'm headed right for the rock wall because the current is taking me towards the rock wall to bounce me off, to bring me to the center of the river. The issue is, I think I'm going to die. That's ego speaking to you, okay? Saying, I'm going to die, I'm going to hit the rock wall. But you're forgetting one thing. The grace of the plastic in between your flesh and the rock.
The grace of the plastic, float. The float.
The grace of the float and the plastic and the paddle, okay, that bounces off that thing. Now, did you get hurt? Well, no, but it banged up my credit. It banged up my kayak that I got on credit. My credit is going downhill. My credit score is suffering. What do? I want to go back uphill. I want to sweat until I get another job so I can pay my credit cards on time. Well, you're forgetting that the credit system is what? Is a part of enslavement. This is why God says, I want you to be debt free. Owe no man anything except to what? The love currency. The currency of love, loving them from heart-centeredness.
I'll give you vineyards you didn't plant, and all these different things, you know, like it was, you know, vineyards you didn't plant.
Homes you didn't build.
There's so much. Things, there's a higher way.
There is a higher way.
And believe us, you guys, we've lived through all this stuff too. And we are like, Lord, we know that we know there is this higher way. And we've all heard, many of us have heard stories of, just powerful spiritual men and women in the past of just ascending and living in this universal law of oneness with God, where things were provided naturally. It's what Jesus showed, said, you know, you're in Christ now, the veil's been torn. what you see me do, you can do also in greater things. And so, but what gets in the way of that is still our, this little child in us of the ego. I want it my way.
Yeah.
I don't have time to sit and meditate. Nothing's getting done. I have to be working and doing and doing and doing. If I sit down for 5-10 minutes, this'll get undone. I don't have time. So then we continue to live in that lower plane and keep getting the same results of our own efforts. And so at some point, and I had seen this the other day, you know, I'm sure you, all of those of us that are have been awakening and feeling the ascension and movement of the planet upward, so to speak, you know, spiritually, it's like the in-between of this is, it's like the water on the Titanic. The water level's rising up and your head is getting closer and closer to that ceiling. And what happens in your 3D thinking is like, oh, I gotta double down. I gotta do what I've always done and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. But the only way you're gonna make it, you have to transcend into the spirit and now really integrate. It can't just be this, well, the spiritual church stuff's what I do on Sundays, and the rest of the time I'm in my ego in the world doing what I want to do. Nobody tell me what to do. And God's like, it's not going to work anymore. You have to integrate the two and live from that place, transcended in the spirit, where you're now being led by the spirit, led in the inspiration, leads, and prompts, and not taking those prompts and going back down into 3D in your drowning mode, trying to effort it out and work it out. And you wonder, well, I got the inspiration from God. Why didn't it work? Because you took it right back down into the lower plane and efforted it out to make it your own in your own strength, instead of just following him into the next step and the next lead and the next prompt when it didn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like we've mentioned before, it's the Kaizen way in Japan. Slow, steady improvement. It's not big knee-jerk reactions unless, again, you're getting physically abused or something. You're in a dangerous situation. That's fight, flight, and freeze.
Right.
So then, of course, you run, you get out, you know. And this is why Jesus himself said, if it persecutes you, physically harm you in this city, flee to the next. That is survival. You know, sometimes that's absolutely necessary. But most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, it's like, I want what I want, like Amy said, and I'm going to knee-jerk my way right out of this. I'm going to go rack up a bunch of debt on my credit card because I'm having a moment. Yeah. You know, I'm going to go to a Black Friday sale and just burn through this credit and then go, okay, God, how did I get in all this debt? Well, it's our addictive emotions a lot of times that say...
And addicted to the victimhood of it.
Yeah, and we live in these lower planes. This is what we're talking about, you guys. Transcending. We live in a planet right now that's screaming to us to transcend.
Yeah, into
go higher, go lower.
5D actually, harmony.
Yeah, go lower, 18 inches down.
Yeah.
But it's true because when we live in this place... It is madness, and we've been there so many times. It's like, okay, how do I get off this treadmill of madness? Because it's like, man, I want to be free to do what I really want to do. Or, you know, how do I transcend the matrix of this enslavement that everybody's under to the degree where I can pull out and see clearly? Most of you just are so buried in it. You just can't even see or don't have the strength.
So you got to be like that, the ship, you know, that's banked on the sandbar or whatever, and start kind of offloading the things that you don't need that you really got in your own ego.
Exactly.
You know, God is into practical things too, you know, so we have to manage those things and just let go of things again that we got in our own ego. And before you know it, you're feeling the breath of your spirit have room again. And you're feeling the wind pick up and you feel your ship starting to budge and get off of that stagnant sandbar, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, for example...
Lightening the load.
For example, we've had situations with cars, okay? And, you know, I'll admit, you know, there's been some times where it's been my ego wanting something brand new because I tried to justify it, which is, there's truth to it. Where you don't have as many problems breaking down or it just doesn't drive as nice or it's not as comfortable. And, you know, those are all egoic things, I guess you could call it. But then it's like, well, what if it doesn't break down and it's still under warranty because it's new? There's some pluses and minuses to everything. But where we've gone off is getting into so much debt with that car. And so we're in a recent situation where we're paying a little too much on the payment. We feel we can pay it, but it's just too high. And we want to get more free in that area. So we're looking, okay, what do we do with the car? Well, we can sell it. We can trade it in. But if we trade it in, guess what happens?
And you're rolling over.
You're rolling over again. And then you're going to get either in more debt. And then you're underneath the enslavement of that system. And we're not saying it's evil to pay payments. Okay, please hear us. We're saying there are higher ways. The higher way is to own it free and clear. And if you have the ability to do that, great. But if you're in a payment, then you say, okay, you become aware and you're like, all right, I would like something to be done about this.
What's the better decision? Yeah, it's like good, better, best. Yeah,
what is the better decision here? And then all of a sudden something will bubble up. This is where you have to put ego in the back seat and say, now, I need you to be quiet for a minute, little Johnny. I love you, but I need you to be quiet. I'm going to listen to heart currency here.
Right. And remember, you know, when you first jump into the water, so we're talking about meditation, all the debris and everything gets kicked up, all the bubbles come up and all that kind of stuff. So imagine that that's like all your thoughts for the day and all the stuff running through your checklist and he said this, she said that, all the wrongs you felt wronged for the day. All that stuff's getting kicked up, bubbling out. Just release it. Don't think that this is a waste of time. Yeah, every time I sit down, all this junk comes up and I don't want to experience it. Well, this is all part of the process because you've been suppressing it and it needs to come out and clear the runway, right? So the insight from heaven can land. And so just stay with it till the water clears and you'll feel a peace come in and start being able to have some clarity and feel the inset, feel the current start carrying you and redirecting you because you're now in the water, you're in your time of meditation and soaking. Otherwise, you're out on land and you're doing it all in your own footed, effort. So it's just, again, with the whole water terminology, it's just amazing because you're subjecting yourself to a more powerful current than your own strength, you know?
Yeah, and you're speaking of that. It's amazing, these analogies where, think of ego as being dry.
Yeah.
And what does conventional food and lack of water do? It dries us out. It takes from you. So this planetary system, this hierarchical, controlling, dictatorship type of system that's built upon egoic structures, is all the dry side of life. Think about it. When you go to a Starbucks and you're drinking 3 coffees a day, you have to compensate for that dryness by a cup and a half of water at least to compensate the dryness that caffeine does. It dehydrates you. So this is why we're made of water, you guys. Yeah. Mostly water.
And that's where you're hearing your frequencies and the resilience. That's right.
So if you can inch away, you know, like Amy calls this, when it looks at diet, right? It's sliding scale diet.
Yeah, good, better, best. Little by little,
just drink extra water today. And that will help the frequency level rise to where we can start hearing in the spirit, in the water, quote, water of the spirit, in heart-centered currency, to where we can go, oh, I never thought of that before. But if we keep drying ourselves out in egoic hardships,
dry thinking, acidic thinking, acidic relationships, all the stuff, the dryness and hardening, that's what it does.
And all disease is in dryness.
Yeah.
It's not in hydration. The more hydrated we are, the less chance of us getting sick.
We're tranquil. We're fluid, right? Like, what's his name? Our favorite Bruce Lee, his whole saying.
Become like water.
You know, and he had a pretty good diet, too. Like they said he drank a lot of water and just ate lots of fruits and vegetables and very little meat or bread or any kind of starches. I mean, look at the guy, geez, you know. But
But they're
in, he was
and
so meat, attuned.
Yeah, and meat, by the way, we'll just say this real quick. Meat, by the way, is one of the most drying things we can put in our body.
Yeah,
it's meat very and bread. Very drying, very it sucks the water and life right out of us. But anyway, all of you peeps on the meat alone diet, they're
oh guys, you're setting yourself up.
Oh man,
be really careful.
Yeah, so you know, at least you know, inch your way over. At least fish is more hydrating a little than like red
it's
meats.
It's less acidic.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. How did we get there? Well, somebody needed to hear it. I needed to hear it. Anyway, we all need to hear it.
Yeah. After Thanksgiving, I think we're all experiencing the effects.
Oh my goodness. So when you look at it, just look at it like that way. Ego equals dry,
acidic,
barrenness,
corrosive.
Wilderness. Why do we say I'm in a wilderness season? No, you just went to Starbucks too many times today, honey. Anyway, so so it makes your whole life feel like a wilderness season.
Yeah, full of anxiety.
Try getting hydrated and see how many times you talk about wilderness seasons. So, and then you look at egoic dry. Heart-centeredness.
Alkaline.
Hydration alkaline.
Yeah.
And so
fluid,
that's where life
thankful.
Is. Life is in the water. Life is in the river.
Yeah.
Rivers of living water.
Flowing out of you. So if you're feeling backed up.
If you're feeling
stagnant
constipated.
Swamped.
See, why is it that
you feel swamped.
Why is it that L tryptophano knocks everybody out after you have big Thanksgiving meals, and then everybody the next day is smelling like turkey on the treadmill in the gym?
Oh man, it's pretty wild,
it's
isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty potent.
Going to the gym the next day and smelling it at a whole nother level.
Yeah, and it's true, guys. You know, yes, it's enjoyable for the moment, but we pay dearly in the dryness of continually going down egoic.
Yeah.
Cycles.
And we experience this ourselves, you guys. Like, we'll do really, really good on just all fruits, salad, you know, no meat, no breads, dairy, all that junk. And then, you know, come the holidays, we're like, well, we've been really good, so let's just make an exception here and we'll do a, you know, small little bit, do a little bit of turkey, which is fine. You're totally allowed to do it, right? And it's good because it gives you the contrast to realize.
Right.
You know, and so we did a little bit, and boy, I tell you though, you can feel the difference in your body. Like, we're like, where is this tiredness coming from? The dryness and the moodiness.
Man. Heaviness.
And it's just amazing how much food can affect you versus when you're on fruit, your breath doesn't smell. Nothing really smells.
Yeah.
You smell really good. Your senses are so attuned. You're not highs and lows with moods and emotions.
Yeah, and why is that?
It's everything flows.
It's the highest level of light.
Yeah.
In that food is fruit, and so when you're putting light into your light body,
yeah, that's what
then
you're
you become
eating.
A light being.
You're eating light and energy, and so when you're eating the dead cooked food that doesn't have light and energy anymore, that's what you're getting. That's why you feel like you're dragging through the sludge. And the only reason why you get some energy is because with meat, especially, it's a stimulant. It's just like coffee. So the hormones in the meat are a stimulant. So we think, oh yeah, it's giving me energy. No, it's giving you more like drug stimulant that's shocking your adrenals even more, and then you plummet down. So it's just,
yeah.
I was shocked when I found that out too. I'm like, wow, well that makes a lot of sense.
It really does. And it's just gaining that
understanding,
that local level knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then we let love transcend
so
by saying,
don't perish.
Yeah, so that we can say, okay, wow, now I can hear more clearly now. Now I can let love take me in the current. But whereas, guys, this is just reality. This is nuts and bolts of 101 living.
Nuts
is that a lot of times we don't want to get honest about things like diet, or we don't want to get on, or we just don't have the knowledge, right? Or we don't want to get honest and say, you know, how many of us stand around at work or in your religious circles or wherever, your friends, and you're like, yeah, I shouldn't eat that. Yeah, I'm going to go on a diet January 1st. Oh, yeah, my New Year's resolution. Yeah, we do this year after year after year.
Living in the future instead of changing the now.
Instead of changing it little by little now. It's not the huge steps most of the time. It's little by little. Make the adjustments. And then your body will acclimate to it.
Yeah. You know? That's when it's going to really stick and last. Because it's honestly, you guys, it is the ego that says, and a lot of times, all or nothing. Go big or go home, you know.
It doesn't work.
And then you hear the stories after that. People are living in their cars for 3 years. They're like, oh, man, I wish I would have done this differently, you know. But I was trying to prove something. I was trying to either prove to God or prove to myself or prove to the company I'm leaving that I'm done and I can make it, you know. And
yeah, I'll show you, boss lady.
Go big or go home.
And then the boss lady is like, next.
Right. Or go big or go home, and you get in debt and then get mad at God because he didn't come through to cover it for you because your ego needed to go big or go home. And you look at how God creates creation, it's progressive. It is, again, slow, steady improvements. It starts with a seed, then it becomes a sprout, then it grows into a young tree, and then it becomes this beautiful aged oak tree or fruit tree. And it's just perfectly small, steady improvements. And yeah, there's supernatural occurrences, of course, too. Like what he put in the Chinese bamboo. I mean, a lot of us have heard that story by Les Brown. Of the, you know, he kept watering it. Nothing's happening. Watering.
For 5
watering,
years.
And then, boom, within what, how many months?
In the fifth year.
6 weeks or some months.
Fifth year.
The thing just shoots up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so you have that too. But again, didn't it start with those small, steady improvements? Watering it each day.
Yeah,
when
so it brings us.
Nothing looks like it's happening.
Yeah, so it brings us back to the beginning as we wrap this up, is when we started talking about the example of Starbucks or the relationship. Practicality, guys, is just what we've been saying. So just as a reminder, what do you do right now?
Yes.
In the dilemma that you found yourself in, you really feel like you're in a tight spot. Well, it's the little things to shift something that could have huge blessing on the other side.
Yeah.
We just can't see it. So if you go to work, you go to Starbucks or wherever you work, I'm just throwing Starbucks out there just for example, but you go to Starbucks, right, and you're like dreading putting on that green apron. Or that red apron because it's the holiday time and you're like, oh, if I make one more coffee drink, I just can't stand
the
smell of it.
Espresso machine one more time. No.
If you just look at it from the perspective of how may I serve?
Right.
How may I serve today? Even though there's addicted beings coming in there all the time, you could be the light of vibrational energy.
Yes.
That could just smile.
Practicing.
Just force a smile. Infuse a little bit of love into that red cup. And then you're like, okay, that's a small step.
Purpose.
And it doesn't mean, here's where I feel like I need to share this with somebody. That means I'm going to stay there because they'll see that I'm doing a good job.
Then they'll want me more
and I gotta be promoted to leader, manager, or district manager. I don't want to do this. But it may not mean that at all.
Right. Remember, it could be the outsider saying, I want you to work for my company.
Yeah.
You've got it on you, you know.
Or some crazy thing happens because you're putting out a few videos online or you did some artwork or whatever you love to do. You know, and or you have a brilliant idea for baristas and you're just like, all of a sudden the boss pays attention now, or somebody grabs your artwork online and it starts going viral. You just don't know what that energetic shift can do in the smallest of ways.
Right. And you know, if you're going through job after job, it's usually you, right? It's the inside job.
It really is.
Instead of continuing to shift your outside circumstances. Because the key is, it's in reverse. You change the energetic field and belief system within you, and the cooperative components will change and form around you. The opportunities and all that kind of stuff. Because whatever you're experiencing is a vibrational match. So as you start changing your beliefs about things, the meanings you attach to them, what you look at, then things will start changing and shifting and matching that around you. It's like the old story, right, of the person walking up to the town gatekeeper and asking, what's this town like? And the gatekeeper asks, well, what was the town like that you came from? Oh, it was horrible. It was blah, 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 you know? And he goes, well, this town's like that too, right? And then the next person walks up and asks the same question. What's this town like? And the gatekeeper goes, well, what was the town like you came from? Oh, it was wonderful. Everybody got along. I had great neighbors. He goes, well, that's what this town's like too.
This is a perfect example of how we increase the light in the earth. This is how we increase the love energy upon the face of the earth so that we can transcend pyramidal structures that have hierarchy, top-down abuse going on, or control. And so people say, well, how are we going to change this world? That's how we do it. Yeah. That's how we do it.
Mirror your inner world out.
One energetic impulse at a time. Imagine if we all start doing that, then we'll transcend structures. And, you know, here's another thing, a side note. Many people have asked us, I'm starting to look at this completely different now. Many people have asked us in the job, in the corporate world, like, where's all the workers?
Right.
Well, did we ever stop to think that many of them are pulling out energetically, or being pulled out energetically, to help with the matrix collapse? Because at some point, things are being dismantled and collapsing. We see that all around us, right? In as far as structures and mindsets and beliefs. And they're starting to be upheaved. There's some upheaval going on, like the riots, okay? And this is what I wanted to touch on earlier. It's coming back now. And then we'll wrap it up. Remember when the riots happened. Remember when the chaos happened. It's still happening in different places, especially in America, where you have people plowing into crowds of people, Walmart shootings, you have nightclub shootings, and all this stuff, and people are focused on the gun, right? But what's really taking place is this, people feel something, and they're like, this is not right. And I'm not talking about the shooter, okay? I'm talking about the so much as I'm talking about the collective whole that is frustrated with abuse, frustrated with systems of control, frustrated with the way things are being dominated and the corruption.
The protests, so they go out.
Yeah, the protests and the rioting, say with the George Floyd thing. Well, people are feeling like something is off. We don't like the abuse going on.
Right.
And so the only thing, yeah, somebody's got to do something. That's the ego talking. So what we're seeing is a widespread egoic thrust of action saying, I feel that this isn't right, so I've got to do something. I have to act out. That's the only thing I know how to do.
Right.
Instead of anchoring the light to shift things and change things for the positive.
But that doesn't feed the ego, though, so
yeah.
They don't want to do that.
Right. So the ego shifts it in the way that it did. Now,
they need the name of the fame. See, they need that payoff, the reward.
Now, that kind of stuff never really lasts. You notice that that's over with. It's not lasting, and there was no real shift and change as far as what we've heard from the experts.
Because it was in a 3D way.
It was in a 3D way. Yeah. They didn't transcend into 4D and 5D. So look at Martin Luther King Jr., for example. Did it through peace and love.
Yeah,
it's
Gandhi.
Lasting.
Gandhi. Peace
Gandhi
and love.
Shifted an entire nation through what? Peace and love. Mm-hmm. Mother Teresa. You can go on and on and on. So the way to do this is to anchor the light little by little, and then we transcend that dark energy and it begins to disperse.
Yeah, you're that powerful.
Yeah, and so many people are fighting the wrong war here, guys. We're fighting ego matching ego in the 3D environment.
Yeah, hoping for a 5D result, and
yeah.
It doesn't work. We've got to come at it with a 5D. And when we're talking about 5D, we're talking about, you
spiritual,
know, being God's heart, restoration of all things, where we're all loving and preferring one another, and you don't need a monarchy over you because you're being led by the Spirit. All the sons of God, sons and daughters, are all being led by the Spirit. And so you hurt, we all hurt, you know, kind of thing. You succeed, we all succeed, kind of thing. So That's like the 5D world we're talking about. The 3D world is, again, the ego, the dog shame, eats dog, climbing the ladder, you know, my way or the highway. It's all that egoic, edging God out, driven life.
Yeah. So what one guy said, one master said, so what do you do about the people protesting? Nothing. It's not your job to correct them. It's not your job to try and change them. Let them do what they're going to do because they feel that that's their level of truth. However, those that have gone before or higher or went ascended 18 inches down into heart-centeredness, they're anchoring the light to counterbalance that. And at some point, it is going to be a tipping point over to where light begins to flood the planet at an accelerated rate, which is already happening, by the way. So focusing on things like guns, the object, is not really the key issue here. It's
an energetic change.
We're seeing people are using cars to kill people. They're using,
you can use anything.
Anything, right? It's not intention. That's not the point. And I'm not advocating, you know, big gun support here. What I'm saying is it's not the object.
Right.
It's the mentality of consciousness level in the 3D world. So a shooter walks into a gay nightclub recently, right? Another one. It's tragic. It's horrible, right? Any loss of light is tragic. Life are tragic and horrible. But people get on that other side, on the 3D side of things, and they start screaming for, like, what I just learned through the news that they went and sprayed graffiti all over James Dobson's place and say, the blood is on your hands because of this. Well, they're lashing out saying, this is wrong. But when we point it towards a certain people group, we point it towards a certain thing, and we fight fire with fire.
Yeah, and blame.
And blame shifting and all of that. It's that is not 3D. A lasting change.
Yeah.
It's not lasting. And so we may get our anger out for a minute, but we're looking for lasting solutions, aren't we?
Which starts with us going in instead of trying to change things on the outside. You know, just like what, you know, God said... two can put 1,000 to flight, or one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So think of that flight as like your energy. It's so powerful that goes out like a rippling effect. The more of us that do the inner work of anchoring God's kingdom of love and light, God's kingdom, and just being that example, it hits, because we all know, we have to acknowledge the truth of energy here, because we all know the saying, man, you can cut the atmosphere with a knife, or somebody walked in with a bad mood and it causes the whole atmosphere to sink, or somebody walks in laughing and all of a sudden you're laughing and you don't know why. It's that contagious. And so that's what we're talking about. So again, it starts with you. And you know, I've always said it and thought it, the most attractive trait in the world is belief. Belief is the most attractive trait, because that is what's emanating out of you, is your belief. Your beliefs about the job, your beliefs about society, your belief about the news, your belief about religion, your belief about this or that. It emanates a frequency. It emanates a smell. It emanates... all these things that is so powerful that God gave you to shift the atmosphere. So imagine all of us starting to release heaven on earth inside out of us, wherever we are. We got to trust where we are on the journey, and God will move you to the next. If we can just stay in this place of fluidity within us, we'll be free to be able to move into the next. But knowing that right where we are right now is just as valuable. Because we're living in the eternal now. So, anyway. But, you know, it's just insights we just wanted to share with you guys today. With Paddles Up. Paddles Up Sundays. And thanks for listening. You know, we love you all. We're all connected. Our hearts are with you. And we're here on the journey with you. Wanting to just be an encouragement. And, you know, bounce things off too. Hey, guys. You getting this? Sensing what we're sensing? Feeling what we're feeling? We're in this together, so hope that encourages you, and we love you lots, you guys.
Keep your paddles up and let heart currency take you where it knows it's going.
Yeah.
All right, we love you.
Take care.